And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show. This show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, this is it. This is my favorite time. All right, I'm going to just enjoy the next half hour. Not that I wasn't enjoying the show before, but I'm just saying this is my favorite moment of a week. We call it Boomer and McQueen. All right. Hey, McQueen, how you doing? Oh, hang on. Hey, McQueen, how you doing?
Oh, I am good because I just came from the pool. So I brought the sunshine, which is why you're in a really good mood now, right?
So Boomer and I sit here working, slaving.
We're slaving over here.
Slaving. And you walk in here tan and refreshed and like, okay.
Yeah.
I was babysitting too, so... Just kidding. He's six. He's fine.
He's not a... Yeah, you don't babysit him.
I happen to already know that Grandma has a little one, so you're...
Now she does, because she came and took... She selflessly came to the pool.
Selflessly came to watch him.
Yep.
What a sacrifice.
That sounds like a sacrifice.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yep.
All right, you guys.
It's a rough life here.
For those of y'all that may be new to Right Side Radio, this is a segment we do called Boomer McQueen, where, I mean, I got these two folks right here that do work with us and run the show. I mean, I sometimes just sit here and talk into a can, and they're the ones making things work. So in the meantime, we also know they have opinions. We know McQueen has opinions.
Yes, we do.
I do.
We get them in here and ask questions and just get a perspective. So here I'm the old guy. I get to hear what the generation right behind me has to say about stuff. So let me ask you a question. Here we go. You ready? First question. It's summertime. Kids are out. Little guy's out. Am I right? Mm-hmm. All right. So little guy's out of school. All right. Some in multiple places around the nation right now, local school districts are debating going to year-round school. Your thoughts, good or bad? What do you think? Who's first?
I mean, I'll go.
Okay.
I was going to say, like, year-round school to me, like, in my head, obviously, when I was a kid, I was like, no!
I was just going to say it. My opinion then versus now is very different.
Yeah, I mean, but then again, they also get year-round school. Don't they still get, like, you know, 4 weeks off, 3 weeks off? You know, I would have to know more about it, personally, because I haven't done much research on it. So
I didn't offer you research. I said, what do you think?
I'm telling you what I think. I'm telling you, I personally don't really know, but year-round school is, I mean, I don't want them to be like in school the whole time. They're kids. I want them to have fun. They need to have fun. They need to burn off some energy. There we go.
All right. All right. McQueen, that would definitely cut into your pool time.
It would. But I'm actually a fan of it, too, because...
You're a fan of year-round school?
Yeah.
Really?
Kind of along with what you said, though. I would want to know a little bit more about it. But yeah, because I know, I remember as a kid having friends that were in year-round school, and at the time I thought that was horrible. But then at the same time, I'd be in school and they were on break, and then... Later on, you know, I was in school and they were on break again. Like, they got so many frequent, the 2 weeks off, you know, or 2 weeks off. Hold on. Then it will go to you. But also, I think this is why I also think it's good, is I think it's good for parents, for teachers, for kids to be able to pour into something, give it 100%, be really, dialed in and be able to engage. And then when we know there's so many times in the year where we are burnt out, it's almost spring break or it's almost summer break or it's almost Christmas break. And there is less learning and little retention at that point because they're so burnt out. So you get to the point of not, you don't get to that point and you get a break. And then you start like kind of the next, you know, term or whatever, lessons.
Hang on. I gotta jump in here. You do realize we won two world wars and put a man on the moon with summer breaks.
Oh, I do like summer breaks. Agreed. I do too. But then you also could plan vacations during not as busy of times.
For me, it's like I don't want any less time for the kids to have fun.
No.
I was just wondering. Like,
it just split up differently is all it is.
I would just like to know the
split. So you think it's... okay. All right.
Because...
If I am not about boarding school where you're in school 24/7, but no. I think it's still, you get the same amount of whatever it is, 10 weeks of summer, but it's just split up... 3 weeks here and 4 weeks here and 3 weeks here and 3 weeks here. That didn't add up to 10, but you know.
I don't really know.
You had your hand.
but I do have another thing on that whole...
Are you changing the subject?
No, it's on the school subject. didn't they mention something about doing 4-day school week? And I would be, no.
They did.
On that.
That has been discussed. And I think that's the teachers union.
Okay.
To be honest with you. And I want to say that was in either New York City or Chicago. It was one of the major metropolitan areas where that's, well, we may need to go to a 4-day week. Forget y'all.
Yeah.
Just,
no,
I mean.
No, thank you.
So, okay. Well, I personally have mixed feelings. I feel like the months off in the summer, while I often got in more trouble during those months, at the same time, I felt like those were the times truly to be a kid. Those were the times.
Right.
I get what's, you know, in today's society, our kids don't roam free. I mean, I was a free-range kid.
Yeah.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm. It is a little different now.
And I was also a latchkey kid for a lot of my early years. You know, a single mom was raising me, and during the summer she had to go to work. So I had a key that I wore around my neck. And if I left the house, I took my key. And I'm talking about, you know, fourth grade, third grade.
I remember being locked out of my house. They said, don't come in until you can't see your hand.
Well, see, that's
your face.
Why I had a key around my neck.
I didn't even get a key.
All I'm saying, though, is I just feel like those summers have always had an important role in, you know, more than just school, but about life. And
growth.
And growth. Mm-hmm. And so maybe, I don't know. I just look at it and go, really, they're kids. Let them be kids, and that's why summer was important.
So. Yeah, and I think the other thing on that note, because I agree with that, but I feel like that's not the case so much anymore, where it's not letting the kids be kids for the summer. It's how many activities can we get in? How many camps can we be in? How many summer ball and football and basketball and this and so many? We have track and we have this practice, and so it's like they aren't really getting to be kids. They're just in the same activities.
Yeah.
So, and I think, and then the ones that aren't, a month or two into summer, I mean, Pax the other day was like, I'm bored. What are we going to do, Mom? And I'm like, it's week one. It's been 1 week, buddy. Like, we're not going to do a fun activity every day. Like, welcome to, like, what we do every day. We'll try to do something fun every week, but,
well,
yeah.
I mean, I agree with that. I do think that it gets overfilled. You're right. That's a cautionary thing. But I can remember when I was in full-time youth ministry working for Young Life. And this is in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to a kid that I used to hang out with, you know, and see and stuff. And I says, hey, what are you doing so-and-so date, man? You want to go canoeing or something? I forget what it was. And he's like, hang on, let me check. And he pulled out a daily planner to check his calendar. And I thought, what is happening? I didn't mm-hmm. know what a calendar well, was till I was an adult and in the business
yeah.
world.
I mean, some even teenagers these days have an extensive summer calendar, especially for sports.
Yeah.
That they're, you know, they have to be here for this workout, here for this workout, here for this practice. And then they're, before you know it, their whole week is already planned. And then some of them are playing games on the weekends as well. So their summer is not really a summer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more, I mean, they're doing things that they love, which is awesome, but they're still doing, they're already all planned out.
Okay, so mixed reviews is what
yeah.
I'm getting.
Yeah.
Mixed reviews. All right. Let me jump to number two.
Number two.
First of all, I've been mocking Lululemon the whole show.
See, I need to tune in, make sure, because I listen all week, but I always miss the beginning before I get
because
here.
Because she's at the pool.
That's what I heard.
And they don't get the all radio right. waves at the pool. But
here's the thing. Boomer
it's bad
had,
in the water. Okay.
Boomer had the ability to hear earlier in the show, and you haven't, but I'll catch you up real quick. So Lululemon store over in Atlanta, right? Lululemon store was being robbed. Retail theft is huge nationwide right now. And it was one of those brazen things where these two guys wearing hoodies and masks just walked in and started loading up their arms like they could care less what anybody thought. And they were walking out the door with all these armloads of Lululemon. I even hate saying that name. Lululemon, you know,
Nate
clothing.
Always has made fun of it whenever I'd get Lulu anything.
I did. I do.
Okay. But here's the deal. These two employees saw this happening, and they were fired because they didn't put hands on the guy or anything. They started filming it and telling them to stop, and then called 911, and they got fired because the store has a zero tolerance policy on anything related to criminal activity, that you just don't report it, you don't deal with it, you don't anything.
Shouldn't you have a zero tolerance policy for shoplifting?
Thank you very much. All right, we're done with this segment. We're all go to break.
There
I mean,
is.
That's it.
When was this?
Last week.
Yeah.
Holy cow. That's ridiculous.
I thought it would be your stupidest story of the day, actually, because it was Lululemon and it was theft.
Oh, I do have some good ones, though, today. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. That is not.
I think
like that's like common sense. You teach a kid, like, you see, I mean, you that's like ingrained in you, and like early on, so like you see something like that, you call 911. Yeah, and
should be. But we're in the culture now where instead of doing something, people get their phones out and just film it so they can post it on their Facebook page. I mean, it's just
I think they're gonna, you know, have one more thefts.
Yeah. Well, it's that's what they want, clearly.
And then two, they're gonna have people working there going, oh wait, stop. Okay, well, all right. Or I mean, they're not gonna say anything. They're just like, all right, see you later.
Or they might have somebody saying, I'll meet you out back and get a few of those things from you.
I mean, yeah. You're gonna see like inside jobs.
Yeah. I mean, it's so bad in San Francisco that like Whole Foods closed down. Walmart left Seattle. It's gotten to the point that these retail thefts are so brazen, so cavalier, and so constant.
Oh my
The stores are shutting down and leaving some of these major liberal metropolitan areas.
Well,
and
if the big stores are leaving the major metropolitan areas, what's going to happen to the mom and pops? They're not going to stay open.
No, exactly right.
They're already. So, I mean, everybody's going to start moving out this way, and we ain't going to have it down here in Alabama.
No, in fact, I'm pretty sure there's places in this state where you might walk in the store and never be seen again. What happened to Jim Bob? Well, last we saw, he had a handful of Lululemons and he was walking out the door.
Those Lululemons.
All right, Boomer, take us to a break right now. That's two rounds of Boomer McQueen. We come right back. The next segment flips the script. And I have to sit back and just see what kind of questions they're going to ask me. Holy cow. All right, you guys, stand by. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time with Boomer and McQueen. All right, so we already finished round one, you guys, so you know the deal. This is where we go to round two, where I receive the question. Ooh. And so who's first on this? Oh, Boomer's got his hand
ready.
Up.
I'm ready.
All right.
I'm ready. Okay.
What you got?
All right, because we have so many pleasant illegals coming through our borders, that's what I'm going to call them right now, pleasant illegals, because some people want them here, what do you think the left side is going to be? What is their strategy to be able to get them to vote eventually in the next election? And what is our strategy as conservatives in the right side to not let that happen?
Yeah, what the heck do we do?
What's your question?
Well, I have a funny story. So. Okay.
All right. So, yeah. So, several things. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, if we're going to actually follow the Constitution, then the state legislatures are in charge of the voting laws within their respective states. We can have the national, we tend to set the date of the election on a certain date at the national level, mm-hmm. but then everybody's means of which they do that is at the state level. So in Alabama, like when I was in the Senate, we passed photo voter ID. We had a requirement. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, we have to make sure that laws are passed around the nation that, first of all, validate who the person is, and secondly, that they have to be a citizen. You can't just, I mean, like we have non-citizens being allowed to vote in Washington, D.C., and the Congress had to step in because Congress does have override authority on Washington, D.C. because it's not an actual state. It's a district.
Got it.
So Congress shut that down. But I can definitely foresee states like California, Washington State, Oregon, passing laws to allow non-citizens to vote. And so the thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to be ready for swift legal action to enjoin any state that tries to give a non-citizen voting rights. And then we need to also recognize that when a state treats an illegal like they're legal by giving them a photo ID, all they're doing is advancing that particular cause. So anyway, there's my quick answers to those two things.
Right, and do you think some of the swing states are going to kind of do it or try to do it under the radar or try to push it right up to the brink and then try to pass a law to do it?
I don't think they could ever get that under the radar.
Okay.
I think that would be too overt because they're going to have to pass a state law. There's enough advocacy, conservative advocacy groups out there that would see that and go, wait a freaking minute. But,
yeah.
But nonetheless, I do think we have to keep our eyes open. Yeah. Keep watching. Woo. Yeah, that's a mess, man.
It's a mess.
It's a serious question.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go off that for really quick. Mail-in voting. I feel like I saw something recently about that. Is there, like, what's the current situation with that? Because I know that was such a huge ordeal.
Oh, yeah. It depends on your state.
Okay.
There's states that are doing things called ballot harvesting, which is where someone can go around, like, and hey, I'm here to pick up your mail-in ballot. You may take that back for you? Sure. And they just, you know, but then what they're also doing a lot of times is they're filling them out for them.
Yeah.
And then getting them to sign. Or they're taking them to the old folks' home, the nursing home, and just walking the room to room getting them to sign.
Mm-hmm.
And so ballot harvesting is something to watch out for. Mail-in balloting, very troublesome. There has to be valid forms of ID with it. You have to, I mean, like, absentee ballots always been around.
Yeah.
Alabama does absentee ballots, but you have to have justification. You can't just walk and go, I don't feel like voting in person. Can I just have a mail-in? You're not supposed to do that.
Mm.
But again, various state laws do it. The thing we have to watch for is the manner in which they do it. If it's just like, because I think there were some, I think it's Pennsylvania, that just were scared of COVID.
Yeah.
So they mailed everybody in the state a mail-in ballot. Well, that means there's ballots floating around everywhere.
Yeah.
That's just ripe for abuse.
Yeah.
It needs to be something that is requested by the voter, a voter who's then confirmed as being on the roll and authorized to vote. And then secondly, when it's turned back in, it's still under seal and it has a copy of their photo ID in it.
Okay.
That's, I mean, if you're going to do it right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
well, that was what like about,
an extra, is that an extra, are, I, is this like a free for all right
yeah,
now? What is happening?
I got more questions. Okay. Do you think like, if Trump doesn't win the primary, do you think he'll be an independent? And then if he does, that would cause a huge mess.
If he does, you might as well go ahead and usher Biden back into the White House for a second term.
I'm having anxiety, except I'm also watching on your screen Biden fall. He's fallen 45 times just now. It's really funny. On repeat.
It's awful. But yeah, so to answer your question, I am very concerned about that.
Yeah.
Now, right now, Trump is way ahead. He's double digits in the lead.
Right.
And it's a reality is that he's still expected to be the nominated candidate.
Runner.
Yeah.
Yes.
But anything could change. I mean, in politics, a week is a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And so crazy things can happen. Plus, you know, what if you know, some of these criminal charges actually stick? Or what if DeSantis just winds up just grabbing everybody's attention? The next thing you know, he's ahead by 3 points and gets the nomination. Then all of a sudden, Trump decides to declare himself as an independent. That is one of my concerns, because if that happens, you might as well go ahead and say, hey, Joe Biden, welcome back for a second term.
Yeah,
I truly believe he'll be the front runner. In my head, it was more of the fact of something happened, like one of the charges came down or something like that.
Yeah.
Where then he is that correct? Where he
if he's
be
convicted
able to
of a felon between now and then, but he won't.
Right.
If he's convicted of a felony, then he's prevented from running for office.
OK.
But that was not going to happen between now and then. There's any number of attempts out there that he could have enjoined in court for the longest time. Could it happen in the long run? Potentially. Better have a good vice president, but I don't think it's going to be a problem. So, wow.
There you
go. We just cleaned up.
I know. You got like 30 seconds.
Okay.
Okay. I'll tell a funny story, and it's different than what I just said. Can I tell
you? She's going to tell you.
Stupidest story of the week.
Yeah. Okay.
So
a driver was pulled over for speeding. He was trying to switch. He was also intoxicated. Tried to switch places with his dog to avoid being arrested. So when the officer got there, he said that he was not behind the wheel. And so then he ran off, and he got about 50 feet, and then he was tackled to the ground because he was.
So he tried to say his dog.
His dog had been driving. It wasn't
My
him.
My dog was driving.
You know. There's some smart dogs out there.
Man.
There are.
I mean, if it was a golden doodle, I could say maybe so.
Maybe so. They did it. There we go. So that's the next dog we're getting, golden doodle.
Jack Russell Terrier, too small. Couldn't see over the steering wheel. Yeah. But
our German Shepherd, she couldn't do it. She'd nail it.
Yeah. Now, I'm pretty sure that my Doberman could have done it for about a block.
Ranger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That was crazy. All right. Coming up next, Justin Bogey, fiscal analyst with the Alabama Policy Institute, will be on the air with us. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.